Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Nicholas Crisp, he's a public health medical specialist. We've spoken to him a number of times. He also has expressed concern around this issue. Why aren't our sites fuller than they are? Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. Yeah, fine. Thanks very much. Morning to your listeners.
You know, you've said to me before and that it's the 80-20, that let's just move. We get as many people vaccinated and then start to deal with the hesitancy after that. Is the hesitancy coming quicker than you thought it might have come?
Yeah, I suppose we shouldn't be really surprised, but there are a lot more people hesitant than we thought. We are not seeing a huge number of people who are absolutely anti. We are seeing people who are being influenced by messages yeah. that they read and inability to interpret the facts, strange and conflicting things that they hear, and then they don't know what to do. So I think really what we're doing is we're going to now ramp up on providing the facts. There's some very exciting outcomes that we are seeing where both in other countries across the world and now evidence from our original work done with the Sisonke study in South Africa, we can see that very few people who were vaccinated end up getting really sick in hospital. And we've had messages from people in Grootskeer Hospital to say, so far, of all the deaths from COVID of people admitted in ICU, not one was vaccinated. All the unvaccinated people have died. All the people who have died are unvaccinated.
Right? Isn't that just the simplest message of the lot?
You know, people don't necessarily believe that. So it has to be repeated, and we have to show the evidence. And what we think is that, you know, to listen to the same old senior people in government or public health specialists. Not necessarily the best way to convey the message. It's the people with personal experiences of having lost loved ones or themselves having been seriously ill in hospital and recovered who are actually the best ambassadors.
And what about sort of the youth influencers? Is that a way to go as well? I mean,
sure.
You know, from being involved in the Department of Health and on the medical side, you suddenly need to become a marketing expert, don't you?
Yeah, well, we need marketing experts to help us. I wouldn't want one of them to come and run a hospital, so
absolutely.
We shouldn't be interfering in their terrain. We need guidance and help. We can't all be good at everything. But, you know, the messages that they are telling us and the team that's supporting us are really gearing up nicely now, packaging messages. So on the one side, it's messaging, providing the facts, communicating with people. And then on the other side is our responsibility as the health department and the private providers to make sure that we make it a good experience. We make vaccinations accessible in different ways, that we really understand communities because every community is different. So it's a multi-pronged approach that's required.
Doesn't the responsibility, and I was just pondering that earlier, doesn't the responsibility also just start with each and every one of us to look up from our computers around our homes or our offices and see what we could do to encourage people around us to get vaccinated?
Yeah, absolutely. So last Friday we heard a message from Limpopo Department, who's done exceptionally well, notwithstanding their rural nature and poorer telecommunications and so on. They've done extremely well, and their message was that it's a one-to-one.
Yeah.
If one person can get one more person to vaccinate, and that one person then gets the next one, the knock-on effect is tremendous. So it is our responsibility as individuals. But I think sometimes it's easier to sit back and think that it's somebody else's problem. But if you want to protect yourself and your loved ones, you need to get the facts, you need to understand the knowledge, and then you need to motivate those around you to go and get vaccinated.
I think we might see more of it when, and I know that in an office environment, there's a lot of companies are starting to have this discussion. What happens when people come back to work and there are a couple of people who aren't vaccinated? What do they do? How are they treated? Are they, you know, can they be treated a little bit differently? Or maybe they can be asked to wear masks when other people aren't. I think that we might see a lot more take up when people start to, I mean, it's ironic because we need people vaccinated so we can get back to the office. Yeah. So I get the catch 22 there, but I do think that will encourage it because it's in a way just much easier than, especially if I'm not an anti-vaxxer on principle, much easier than just to go and get that vaccine and then I can get back to the office without it becoming an issue. So I think that might help.
So it's not just getting back to work in the office. It's having a social life. It's Absolutely. Being able to engage with other people, to play sport together, to go to sports events. The more that people who are protected, and we know that the vaccination works, it's effective. It's not this boogeyman that everybody who's absolutely anti makes it out to be at all. And we can see evidence of that every day in the personal stories that are being published. So I do think that what you say is going to happen. We saw it with smoking, where people had to be in separate places, in restaurants and so forth. As society starts to make its own rules about who it's going to allow to be part of its clubs and so forth. And I think that is going to happen.
Completely off the topic, but not at all off the topic, is I wrote an article today for News 24 because I came across the announcement that Plett Rage at the end of the year is happening again. I imagine this is not something that the department gets directly involved in, but surely these types of festivals are a concern given the fact that we are still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, well, more than a concern, because that's round about the time where we expect to start going into the fourth wave. Mm. If the pattern we've seen so far is anything to go by, then by the time they are thinking of raving after matric finishes, that's a very dangerous time to be partying. And I suppose they'll be in contravention of the legislation, because I can't see the legislation changing on big groups. It's just totally unwise. Despite vaccination, we still need to wear our masks, maintain social distancing, be very careful about who we're in contact with, because the virus is still out there. It's still mutating. It's still one step ahead of us most of the time. And it's not the time to let our guard down now.
The fact that it's announced to be going ahead is one thing. Your message to parents who might have kids nagging to go to Rage?
Well, I think it's irresponsible for a start, and I think it's placing your children and your families in unnecessary danger to do it. And sometimes we have to delay gratification to get what we really want in life. Right now we need to move into a position where we are able to live with and manage this pandemic. It's going to be with us for a few more years still. And doing things that are just going to prolong the agony and perhaps influence negatively your own family, people sick in hospital and people dying, is not really the right way to go about life right now. It is not advisable to be in big crowds partying and spreading the virus amongst one another.
All right, and thank you for that, Dr. Nicholas Crispin. Thank you for the incredible work that you are doing.